Like, oh, I don't know, buying the stuff? What are you doing here? You know? But a lot of times we have encounters where we see somebody that we meet somebody and the rest of the day looks different. The rest of the, you know, event looks different. And so I'm just going to give you guys a couple examples so you guys could kind of follow along where I'm going. There was one time where I just moved out. I was really broke. I thought I was independent. I was like, I'm a grown up now. And I went out on my own and I was $60 short on rent. I was like, man, $60. Where the heck am I going? I just paid all the bills, but I was $60 short on rent. I didn't know what to tell my landlady. I was just like, I don't know what to do, man. And I was like, I'll just deal with this later. Something will come up. So I started driving. I was on my way to a graduation party. I started driving, and have you guys ever had those moments where you're like, did I forget to lock the front door? And so it was. I was almost there. I had been driving for 15 minutes. Like, I think I forgot to lock the front door. Like, oh, like, I'm going back. So I went back. I was angry. I was mad. I was driving back home. I get back, and sure enough, the door was locked. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, we're like, really? Like, so, but in that moment, I see my neighbor walking up to me, which I had never met this man. He's an older gentleman. Never met him before. Never got a chance to talk to him. And he walks up to me, and I was like, okay. And he looks like he's going to say something. I was like, what's going on? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm like trying to get in my car. I was like, oh, no. And he pulls out his wallet, and he's like, hi, I'm Mike. I'm your next door neighbor. I know we haven't had a chance to meet, but me and my wife are going out of town, and I want to pay you $60 to water my plants. And I was just like, okay. He's like, will you do it? And I was like, man, I will water anything you want me to. I told him, you have no idea. Like, you're an angel, man. I was like, you have no idea how. He's like, really? I was like, you're a blessing, man. And so that was like, that was a surprising intervention. I had no idea that was going to happen. It was a surprising intervention. There was another time where when I just moved to San Antonio, I was working long hours and I was kind of having a rough day. I might have been a Saturday or Sunday night, and I was a little beat. And one of my best friends calls me out of nowhere, and he's like, it was nighttime. I was working night shift. He calls me. He's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm at work, which I shouldn't have answered my phone at work, but you know, whatever. And he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm at work, bro. And he's like, have you had dinner yet? I was like, no, I haven't taken my lunch. He's like, I'm driving through San Antonio. We're going to have dinner together. And I was like, oh, okay, bro. So he met me at my job, and we had dinner. And it was a fantastic surprise. It was just, I had no idea that was going to happen. And it just completely changed my outlook of the night. I was happy. It changed my outlook of the week. And so that was another surprise encounter that I just, it just really, really warmed my heart. Another quick story. I was in Houston about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I heard that some of my friends from a family from the Sugar Land Vineyard was having a fish fry. And I found out the day of. I had no idea that was happening. I didn't line up the dates. And I was like, oh, I'm showing up. I'm going to that fish fry. And I rock up, and a lot of people looked at me like, what are you doing here? And like, shouldn't you be in San Antonio? And I was like, yeah, man, I'm here. I was like, what's up? But it was so cool, and we were laughing, and we just got to catch up, and they just filled me with joy. And I really, man, seeing those brothers and sisters, I was going through a rough time when I was in Houston, but just seeing those brothers and sisters really just poured life into me. And man, it was an awesome feeling. Sometimes pleasant surprises can brighten up our day and make us feel loved and fill us with joy. And that's how all three of those stories, that's how I felt afterwards. It was just, I didn't expect any of them. And they just filled me up with joy. There's times in our life where Jesus shows up unexpectedly. Where we weren't expecting him. We weren't waiting for him. And it just kind of changes the outlook of something. So let me tell you about a story where when Jesus surprised someone, a group of people actually, and they just completely changed their outlook. The story comes from the Gospel of Luke. Now, if you guys want to start turning there, it's going to be Luke. We're going to be reading out Luke chapter 7. So the story comes from the Gospel of Luke. Luke was documenting the life of Jesus post-resurrection. So he's getting all this information after the resurrection. And this story in particular, is, it's the only time we ever see it in the gospel. It's not, a lot of stories you kind of see, they, you see in Mark and you see it in Matthew, but this one is only in Luke. And it comes from Luke chapter 7, verse 11. We start off at verse 11. So I'm going to read, and you guys could follow along, por favor. So verse 11 says, "Soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate, and the young man who had died was the widow's only son, and the large crowd from the village was with her." So let's paint the picture here. So Jesus is showing up to this town, Nain, with a large crowd following him. So Jesus has a big crowd following his disciples and a crowd following him. And then there's this other crowd going through the town, and that's a funeral. So these are two very different, there's two very different things going on in these groups. One of them is like, yeah, Jesus is the man, he's doing stuff. The other one, woman just lost her son. A widow just lost her son. And Luke, he's very particular. He says, he uses the word widow. It wasn't just, the significance behind that is that this woman, she's bearing her son. She has nothing left. She's a widow, so she's lost her husband. And in these biblical times, a lot of the women's identity was attached to either their father, their husband, or their son, if their son was alive. And so this woman, not only was she bearing her son, she lost her identity. She didn't know what was going forward. She couldn't own property or make money. She was defeated. So I can't imagine what kind of pain that is. But let's read again. Let's read verse 13. "When the Lord saw her," so Jesus sees her, "his heart overflowed with compassion." His heart overflowed with compassion. And he says, "Don't cry." He says, "Don't cry," he says. Imagine, he says it with so much power and so much confidence. You know, the woman just lost her son. He says, "Don't cry." And then let's focus on the word compassion for a bit. I think that word always gets to me with this story and with a lot of things that go on in our lives. You know, verse 13 says, Jesus had compassion for the woman. The word compassion comes from the Latin word compati, which means to suffer with. So Jesus doesn't just feel bad for her. He's feeling the pain she's feeling. He's suffering with her. Compassion. He has compassion for her. And we got to get this today, that no matter what we're going through, no matter what you're going through, he feels it with you. He's suffering with you. So Jesus is suffering with this grieving mother, and now Luke makes it clear that she's a widow. You know, she's defeated. She's got nothing. And her outlook must have been one of despair, of just defeat and despair. She's got, how many of you guys have ever felt just defeated and just, man, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get the money for the rent? I messed up. I burned that bridge. I lost that connection. I hurt that person I loved. She felt defeated and despaired. But when Jesus saw her, he had compassion. There's that word again, compassion. So he intervened. When we go through something, he suffers with us and he intervenes. Let's see how he intervened for this woman. So verse 14 says, let me pull it up. I'm sorry, I'm really bad with technology. I don't know why I did it this way. I should have done an analog thing, but I decided to go digital. It's my fault. Then he walked over to the coffin. So he just says to the mother, "Don't cry." He has compassion for her, says, "Don't cry." Walks over to the coffin and touches it. It says, then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. So not only was touching it a big no-no, he just stopped the funeral. This guy, Jesus, they don't know who he is, just rocks up, stops the funeral, and puts his hand on the coffin. Now that, in those days, that would have made you very unclean. Like, dude, what did you just do? Did you really just touch that coffin? But he stops the bearer, he touches the coffin, and he says, "Young man." He says, I tell you, get up. Then the boy sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. So just like that, I mean, I'm sure everyone's jaws would just drop. Both groups, like, we're just like, oh my goodness, what the heck is going on? And verse 16 says, great fear swept through the crowd. And they praised God saying, a mighty prophet has risen among us. And God has visited his people today. And the news about Jesus spread through Judea and to the surrounding countryside. So this word got out, man. Those two groups saw what happened. And they just, man, they seen something incredible. I mean, Jesus just rose somebody from the dead. Jesus intervened during this funeral because because his compassion led him to do it. He literally raised somebody from the dead. This man was physically dead, and it was a physical resurrection. But sometimes, how do we apply this to ourselves? There's sometimes where we're dead in other ways. There's more than just physical death. There's all kinds of deaths. Let me tell you about a time when I was experiencing a kind of death, and Jesus raised me up. He intervened, and I found out what his compassion really meant, and I felt it firsthand. In 2014, I was a broken man. I was going through a nasty divorce. I had just lost my job. I had lost my car. I was living in someone's spare bedroom. I was depressed. I was suicidal. And I was slowly being consumed by addiction. Life had defeated me. I was believing lies. I was believing lies saying that I was a failure. I failed as a husband. I failed as a friend. I cut off so many people. I failed as an athlete. I lost my scholarship, my free school. I failed as a son. I felt defeated. And most importantly, I felt like I failed God. I said, I'm never going to have a relationship like the one we used to have. I screwed everything up. I messed up. I believed the lies that I can never have a bridge with him again. I can never have a connection with him again. But like the widow, I had nothing left to live for. And as I felt like as if I had no life left in me. And in that moment, at my weakest, at my breaking point, in my darkest death, I heard a voice, and it was different from the other voices. It didn't sound like the other voices telling me I was defeated. I felt Jesus reach out his arm, and he said, Julio, I tell you to get up. Those exact words, the exact words he gave to that son. And he pulled me out of the hole I was in. And in that moment, I didn't know what to do. I was like, God, help me. And he did. He pulled me out. And he reminded me of all the beautiful things he had done through me, all the beautiful connections I had made. And in that same week, I was able to find work. Somebody gifted me a car. I was like, okay, like, what's going on here, you know? And in my life was just, I had a different outlook. Jesus had compassion for me. And it's not just a one-time thing. He continues to intervene. 2 years after that, I moved to Kansas City. I was going to finish my football career and finish my education. But, and I didn't feel at home there. I was like, oh man, like, God's got me. Things are going to go great. And when I got there, things didn't go great. My brother and his family had been living in Houston for 3 years. And every time I talked to him, he'd be like, oh man, you gotta come to Texas, you gotta come to Houston. And I remember clearly saying, these were always my exact words, I'd say, there's nothing for me in Texas. Oh boy, was I wrong? So when my time was up in Kansas City, I felt defeated again. I was like, I thought I was gonna make connections with people here, I thought I was gonna be able to finish my school. So I said, okay, well, I guess I go back to California. I got nothing. I have nothing in Kansas City. I don't want to go to Texas. So I'll go back to California. But I said, you know what? I'm going to visit my family while I'm on this side of the country. I'm just going to visit them. They're only like 10 hours away. I want to go. I'll spend a couple weeks with them, go back to Cali. Well, when I go to Houston, my car breaks down. Everything I owned was in that car. I didn't have a job in Houston. My car broke down. Like, I was just like, are you kidding me? Again? Like, what is it? Like, so I was again, I was defeated. Life had defeated me again. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me, man. And so my brother, him and his family had been members of the Sugarland Vineyard for about a year or so at the time. And they'd always talk about, man, we found this church. It's awesome. It's great. And I'm like, okay, man, that's cool. I'm happy for you. But I don't know, man. I'm just not into this right now. I'm just like, but I said, they invited me a Sunday. So I went, you know, I was like, okay, I'll see what's up. I'll go visit just out of a courtesy. Nothing. I was like, I didn't really expect. I was just ready. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do about my broke down car to get back to California. But when I got there, man, one of the associate pastors walked up to me, and to protect his name, I was calling him James Canopy. His name is James Canopy. Those people who know who I'm talking about, that's why you're laughing. Everyone else, just Pastor James walked up to me. Never met this guy. And he's, what, 6'5", 6'6"? He walks up to me with a big old smile. I was like, dude, you don't even know me. Like, you know, he comes up to me. He's like, I'm so glad you're here today. And I was like, what? Like, you don't know me. Why are you glad I'm here? You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what brought me here. You don't know my circumstances, why I'm standing in this church right now. I'm not here because I want to be here. I'm here because I'm out of a courtesy. I'm trying to get out of Texas. You know? And like, while all these thoughts are going into my head, this tall man reaches out and he hugs me. And in that moment, I was in the arms of the Holy Spirit. I felt as if Jesus had his arms wrapped up around me. And I felt something I never felt before. And I said, this is where I need to be. This is where I need to be. This is what I need to be doing. This is where God wants me. And I'm coming up on 2 years in Texas. So this is where God wants me. Time and time, Jesus intervened. He intervened when I was at my lowest point. He intervened when I didn't know where my life was headed or what I was going to do. And even recently, he intervened. A couple weeks ago, in the matter of, 7 days, I hurt my back. I lost my job. I got a traffic ticket. I got a flat tire. And I was just like, really? Really? But through it all, I felt Jesus with me. I feel him with me. And that's why I'm here in front of you guys. While I'm writing this sermon, all those things happened to me. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm not the guy for this. Like, all this just happened to me. But no, I felt comforted by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, you got this. He said, you got this. I'm bigger than all of this. And I felt him. So time and time, Jesus rescues us from death, like he did for the widow, like he did for her son, like he did for me. And that's because of the great sacrifice that he had to endure on the cross. He died for us, and he defeated death. And he's alive. He's alive, and he wants to save us. He wants to rescue you. He wants to meet you when you're defeated, when you're marching, when you're crying, when your life feels like there's nothing in front of it. I'm done. Life's beat me up. He meets us out of nowhere. He meets us like he met that widow. And he wants to change your outlook. Because he's alive, he can intervene. And he can change the story. That widow's story changed completely. Jesus wants to. Let's look at Hebrews 7:25. Let's go there. If you guys want to follow along, it's going to be up there, but you guys can follow along if you have your Bible. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, He is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. That last sentence, he always lives to intercede for them. Man, always? Always. That's what he lives for? Some people say, well, I like good food. I live for good food. No, this is way bigger than anything. He lives to intercede for us always. Always. He's there suffering with us, and he's going to be there when he pulls us out of that hole like he did me. Remember, Jesus is in you. Or Jesus wants to be part of your story. He's with you through it all. And he has compassion. Compassion, that word keeps coming up. Compassion, compassion. He feels your pain. And that's why he'll intervene. He wants to intervene in all of us. We're all going through something right now. And some of us, we don't know how to handle it. We don't know what to do. We're just like, I'm done. I've done everything. I've talked to people about it. I've tried to fix it myself. I try to get some kind of help, and I'm still defeated. But Jesus wants to intervene. At this time, in this moment, if you feel like defeated, like this widow did, if you feel like you're done, you don't know what's going on, you don't know what's next, I'd like, if you're brave enough, can you raise your hand? Can you just reach out to God? God, Jesus is reaching out. Let's reach out. Let's reach back. Let's extend our arms so he can pull us up. If you're brave enough, I want people to raise their... I challenge you to raise your hand. And those who are around, don't be shy. Don't be shy. That decision changed my life. And I don't know what any of you guys are going through, but I know that Jesus could intervene. I know. So if you guys could just stand up, and if you want Jesus to intervene for you, just raise your hand, and those around you, just reach out a hand, and if you could pray for one another, help that person, see what they're going through. It's okay. You don't have to give your whole life story. But if you feel like you're going through something, this is a safe place to find people to pray for you, to find people to meet you. And also, I want to extend out an invitation. If you don't know Jesus and you've never heard of this man, you've never heard of him, and you want to have an encounter with him, we'll pray for you here so you can have an encounter. We'll have our prayer team on the side, and they can pray for you. You can tell them that you want to have an encounter with him. I'm going to turn it over to Herschel. Have him send out the invitation. And I just want you guys to just ask Jesus to meet you if you're going through anything.